Bam. Get started. Have a few announcements to share with you before we get started tonight. They are on your bulletin, but we wanted to add a little bit more information to them on some of them. All of you that got a bulletin, on it, it has the district website. The district website is up and going now. We have some things on it. There's a schedule and branch locations and officers and different things like that. So feel free to go to it's the same website address we had before, but it is up and going, so be sure, and we will try to keep it current and keep activities and different things on it. So check it out every once in a while, and the address is on there. Also, Vacation Church School is coming up really quick, and there was a handout. I think most of you probably got one of those, and Sister Sarah would love to have as many kids here as you can get, I'm sure. And if she is still in need of volunteers, I think she has all her teaching staff. But if you'd like to volunteer with the youth and transportation possibly, please make yourselves available to her. Is there anything else, Raylene, that you can think of she might need?
Can I go register?
Oh, and register. And you can register online. There's a Facebook place you can register, and also you can call Sarah, I think, and register too also. And reunion, it's coming up. It'll be here before we know it, and there's just some general information on the back of there, so mark that, and again, that's on our website too. And there are registration forms on the back table if you would like to register in advance, and we would encourage you to do so for the reunion. We purchased a MP3 recorder, and we are recording the services, so hopefully we'll get those downloaded. Steve and I were debating on when we turn it on, so we turned it on as we came in for that last song, so I'm so glad we got that song. It was such a beautiful thing, so I'm glad we got that on there. I think any other announcements? Thank you.
Our shelter from the
It is with joy that I have the opportunity to welcome you and greet you. Thank you, Sister Faulkner, for your ministry tonight, and we look forward to you sharing later in the service. For the purpose of the recording and putting this on the website, even though you have bulletins, I will introduce those that will be involved in the service tonight. My name is Dan Shear. I'll be presiding. The invocation will be by Elder Vern Allen. The offertory will be by Deacon Steve LeHue. Our ministry tonight by way of sermon and the spoken word will be by 70 Gary Metzger. And our closing prayer will be by David Bates. And our pianist tonight is Ashley Galt. For a theme that has been chosen for not only this night, but for the series. And when I talked to the speakers, I gave them this theme and said, whatever the Lord puts upon your heart. So they all have the same theme. So it's going to be interesting how they all focus their thoughts and their workings with the Lord on this theme. So hopefully, and I'm looking forward to how the Lord will bless them. For our scripture consideration, I have taken a scripture from Latter-day Revelation contained in section 98. Therefore, let your hearts be comforted concerning Zion, for all flesh is in my hands. Be still and know that I am God. Zion shall not be moved out of her place. Notwithstanding her children are scattered, they that remain and are pure in heart shall return and come to their inheritance, they and their children with songs of everlasting joy to build up the waste places of Zion, and all these things that the prophets might be fulfilled. And behold, there is none other place appointed than that which I have appointed, neither shall there be any other place appointed than that which I have appointed. For the Lord, for the work of the gathering of my saints, until the day cometh when there is found no more room for them. Let's continue with the singing of hymn number 3.
Righteous Heavenly Father, praise be to Thee, God, for allowing us to come together in Thy name and to be one as Thy Spirit might endow us. I pray that Thy Holy Spirit will rest upon our speaker, 70 Gary, tonight, and that we have come prepared to feast upon thy word and that message that you have given, and to bless us and guide us that we might truly be a marvelous people, a blessed people before our Savior, thy Son. And that same Holy Spirit we've asked to be with Gary in giving him clarity of thought and receptivity to your powerful guiding Spirit. Let us and our hearts and our intellects bear witness to thee of the truths of thy gospel, and that our hearts might be renewed and energized to learn of thy ways and to live thy ways, that Zion might be soon. Guide us, we pray, in the Savior's holy name. Amen.
Good evening. I'd like to share with you from Matthew, the 25th chapter. I believe that this is probably the most powerful offertory verse I know, and it gives the best reasons for giving. Matthew 25, verse 35. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee, and hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee, a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. And then shall he say also unto them on his left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. And then shall they answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or athirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, my brethren, ye did it not unto me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Would you bow with me? Almighty and eternal Heavenly Father, you know what we're going to do here. We pray earnestly that you will bless every dollar and every cent, and that these monies will accomplish all of the work that you need for it to do, and that you will bless them, Father, and bless those who have the stewardship over them. May your kingdom come, Father, and may your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. We ask these things humbly in the name of your precious Son, Jesus the Christ. Amen.
May the grace and peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. I'd like to share for the scripture reading for this evening from the book of Isaiah chapter 1 and Doctrine and Covenants section 100. It is written in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 24 through 28. Therefore saith the Lord of hosts, the mighty one of Israel, I will ease me of mine adversaries and avenge me of mine enemies, and I will turn my hand upon thee, and purely purge away thy dross, and take away all thy tin. I will restore thy judges as at the first, and thy counselors as at the beginning. Afterward thou shalt be called the city of righteousness, the faithful city. Zion shall be redeemed with judgment, and her converts with righteousness. And the destruction of the transgressors and of the sinners shall be together, and they that forsake the Lord shall be consumed. And from DNC 100, paragraph 3, D through F. Behold, I say unto you, the redemption of Zion must needs come by power. Therefore I'll raise up unto my people a man who shall lead them as Moses led the children of Israel. For ye are the children of Israel and of the seed of Abraham. And ye must needs be led out of bondage by power, and with a stretched out arm. And as your fathers were led out at the first, even so shall the redemption of Zion be. Therefore let not your hearts faint, for I say unto you, as I said unto your fathers, mine angel shall go up before you, but not my presence. But I say unto you, mine angels shall go before you, and also my presence, and in time ye shall possess the goodly land. May the Lord add his blessings to his word. Thank you, Sister Falconer. And praise the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So who can answer my first quiz? I love being a teacher. That means I get to ask questions. Okay? So the last hymn we sang from our song service, what was the name of it? And what's the last phrase of the song? Don't sing the whole song, get it. And the hour of redemption is near. Do we believe that?
Yes.
Okay, I'll sit down. Because that's our series this summer. The day of Zion's redemption is near. It is at hand. And it's a true statement. That song that was given by inspiration many years ago, that the hour of redemption is near, because just like our sister sang in her song, if the Lord Jesus is near and the Redeemer is near, then the redemption of Zion is near. That's the simplicity of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're talking about the redemption of Zion, the redemption of a city, the redemption of a people. But this evening I'm going to talk about first what it means to have the redemption of our life. Because as it is with the city, so it must be with us, or we'll not be there. Think about what it was in the scriptures I read this evening for your hearing. From Isaiah chapter 1, it says that Zion comes by judgment. The redemption of Zion comes by judgment. And in section 100 it says that the redemption of Zion comes by power. But both of those comes because of the presence of Jesus Christ. The nearness of our Lord Jesus is what brings His judgment and His power into our life. Think for a moment about what Alma must have felt. As he shares, I almost went to Spanish mode about that, sorry. Anyway, as he shared with his son Helaman in Alma chapter 17, it says that he was racked with torment. It says he was racked with pain. He says it five times because he felt completely guilty. He felt the weight of his sin. He wanted to be away from the presence of God. He wanted to be destroyed. He didn't want to be existing. But what happened? He remembered the words of his father. And the mercy of Jesus Christ brought him hope, brought him life. And the Lord brought judgment. But we know that the Lord, when He judges us, if we stay in our sin, then there's judgment. But if we repent, then it's mercy. So witness Alma to all those who are around. That coming upon the judgment of Jesus Christ in his heart, he recognized, I desire and long for his presence. So he changed his life. Think about Enos. Walking through the forest, pondering on the things that his father had said, hungering, it says. And he heard a voice, and the Lord said, what? Thy sins are forgiven. And the next verse says, and Enoch knew that God could not lie, and it says his guilt was swept away. What was laboring in his heart all day long? The guilt. The guilt of unrepented sin. Because that's what judgment, when it's laid at the feet of our life. Because we are judged by the law of sin and death. And if we don't respond to the grace of Christ, then that judgment has its effect. So Enos also was blessed by the grace and the mercy of Jesus Christ. Think about Paul the apostle. What's it say in Romans chapter 7? Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of sin and death? But thanks be to God. In Jesus Christ. And then he says, through Jesus, he is delivered from the body of sin and death by life in the Spirit. Because he says that we're buried in baptism. Think about King Lamoni. Think about how it was for him to feel. And when he was overcome by the presence of the Spirit of God and was, as we would call it, unconscious. It says, I saw my Redeemer and was forgiven. Each one of those instances, it reminds us that the Lord lays judgment before us and says, what will you choose? To hear my word and follow my presence? Or will you flee? And that's what the vision that the Lord gave Alfred White, which we're all familiar with. I'm not going to share that experience. I'll let somebody else share that. There's about 7 or 8 more chances, right? I'm sure someone will mention that. But there's one thing about that experience I want to share this evening. The vision that the Lord gave Alfred White in 1885 about the redemption of Zion. He was, of course, perplexed about how Zion would be redeemed. It says he was praying about that. And he had this vision. And the part I want to share was that the Lord said to him that he laid death at the feet of every person. And 6 months later, when he had a dream, he misquoted that. And it says in the dream that he said that the Lord laid death at the foot of every door. And the Lord, I would say, rebuked him. And said, that you have misrepresented me. That's not what I said. Because what belongs to the vision is that I lay death at the feet of every person. So it is. We think about the redemption of Zion. But the Lord asks us to think about the redemption of our own life. How will we take the name of Jesus? How will we respond? Because Zion is redeemed by judgment and by power. Each one of us knows that there's a day of judgment. But the question is, will we allow that spirit of judgment to penetrate our souls today? To convict us today of our unrepented sin? To convict us today of what we need to change? I think I shared it before, but I feel a need to share it again. A bunch of years ago, about 34 years ago, I'd been in the church for about 6 months. And I had found the Doctrine and Covenants, the promise in section 90, that if we repent of our sins and call upon His name, that He allows us to see His face, know that He is. And I began to hunger for that experience, not understanding what it meant. And I remember I stayed up one night, I was laying on the couch in the living room. And I said, "Lord, if you just come and knock on the door." And there was a knock at the door, 2 o'clock in the morning. And I didn't want to go to the door. Because it suddenly came to my understanding what it meant to stand in the presence of Christ, the sinless, powerful creator of the world. And I wasn't ready. I couldn't go to the door. I was judged that night. Made to understand what does it mean to fall into the hands of the living God. But by grace, He allowed me to continue. And that's what it means to me, the vision the Lord gave Alfred. That judgment is laid at my life. And what will I do with the presence of Jesus? Will I allow it to consume my sin and free my soul? Or will it do like others in the vision that he had? Just run because they couldn't stand it. I pray this evening that we're convinced that the day of the Lord's redemption of our soul, the cleansing of our life, and the empowering us by His Spirit is near. Because when Jesus Christ came, He announced to the 12 to go and preach, as it's recorded in Matthew chapter 6, I believe, verse 10. No, Matthew 10, verse 6. He said, "Preach that the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And of course it's the kingdom of heaven was at hand. Because the Lord Jesus Christ had come. The ministering of angels had come. The power of the Spirit had come. The powers of the kingdom of heaven were at hand. They were available for all to have if they would hunger and thirst. And when he called upon the 70, in Luke chapter 10, he called and he told them, "Go and preach that the kingdom of God is," what did he say? "The kingdom of God is come nigh unto you." The same message. But the kingdom of God is the embodiment of the righteousness and the power and the peace and the joy of the Holy Spirit living in His body. And that's what he said is our petition to follow, to preach, to live. Because Romans 14 tells us, right? That the kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And 1 Corinthians 4:20 tells us that the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. But as I began to think about that verse this evening, I was reminded that there's more to that context, which I never ever share. I'd like us to look at that just for a brief moment. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, if you have your scriptures. Let's start reading in verse 18. 1 Corinthians 4:18. 18 through 21. Paul says, Now some are puffed up as though I would not come to you. But I will come to you shortly, if the Lord will, and will know not the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. What will ye? Shall I come unto you with a rod or in love, and the spirit of meekness? And I was penetrated in my heart to think about what Paul had said about it's not in word, but in power. What he just talked about. Some of you are puffed up. What puffs us up? Pride. Which is why the scripture tells us to be learned is good if what? You hearken unto the commandments of God. Otherwise, if you have knowledge and you don't have obedience, then you become prideful. And it's so easy enough for us in the restoration of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ to become puffed up that we have the revelation of God's truth. And then we hold it captive. And the consequence is exactly what Paul said. The spirit of pride, puffed up, control, enters in because we forget that we're called to serve, called to share, called to be the message of the kingdom of God. So he reminds us in chapter 5, verse 4. It says, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together and have the Spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ. A 3-point plan. And I praise God this evening that we're doing that. That we have gathered together and that we have the Spirit and that we will have the power of the Lord Jesus Christ because He is near. Redemption of our spirit, redemption of His city. The plan that He has laid before us this evening. I want us to think about the promises the Lord has given. The testimonies in Scripture of the redemption of Zion. Think about section 36, 6a, where it talks about in Enoch's vision. It says, after the city of Zion was taken up, it says in paragraph 6a, that the Spirit of God fell upon many others. And they were taken up by the powers of heaven to be in Zion. And that's the only way we get there, isn't it? For the power of the Spirit of God to fall upon us, to redeem us, to judge us, to burn the dross, to liberate us, to empower us, and lift us up and be joined with the city of God. Think of what it says in 1 Nephi chapter 3 about the last days. 1 Nephi 3, I'll start reading in verse 229. It says, and it came to pass that I beheld that the great mother of abominations did gather together in multitudes upon the face of all the earth, among all the nations of the Gentiles, to fight against the Lamb of God. And it came to pass that I, Nephi, beheld the power of the Lamb of God, that it descended upon the saints of the church of the Lamb, and upon the covenant people of the Lord who were scattered upon all the face of the earth. And they were armed with righteousness, and with the power of God in great glory. Sound like the kingdom of God on earth? That's it. That's the power of the redemption. Where you're armed with the righteousness and the power of God and great glory because the nearness of Jesus Christ is in you. James 4:8 says, draw nigh unto God and He will draw nigh unto you. That's why we have the promise of Zion's redemption that it's near at all times. Because as we are near to Him, His presence, His power, His judgment, His word is in our mouths, in our hearts, in our lives. And the very kingdom of God is edified and built up. And it continues on. 232. And it came to pass that I beheld that the wrath of God was poured out upon the great and abominable church, insomuch that there were wars and rumors of wars among all the nations and kindreds of the earth. And as there began to be wars and rumors of wars among all the nations which belonged to the mother of abominations, the angel spake to me, saying, behold, the wrath of God is upon the mother of harlots. Because Zion's redemption is by judgment and by power. And there we have it in Nephi as well. And repeat it again in chapter 7. I'll read very briefly. 1 Nephi 7, verse 32 through 36. For behold, saith the prophet, the time cometh speedily that Satan shall have no more power over the hearts of the children of men. For the day soon cometh that all the proud and they who do wickedly shall be a stubble. And the day cometh that they must be burned. And there's the judgment. For the time soon cometh that the fullness of the wrath of God shall be poured out upon all the children of men. For he will not suffer that the wicked shall destroy the righteous. Wherefore he will preserve the righteous by his power. Even it shall be that the fullness of his wrath must come. And the righteous be preserved even unto the destruction of their enemies by fire. And for the Doctrine and Covenants, section 45. Paragraph 4D. It says, in that generation shall the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled, and there shall be men standing in that generation that shall not pass, until they shall see an overflowing scourge, for desolating sickness shall come over the land. But my disciples shall stand in holy places, and shall not be moved. But among the wicked, men shall lift up their voices and curse God and die. And there shall be earthquakes, and also in diverse places, and many desolations. Yet men will harden their hearts against me, and they will take up the sword one against another, and they will kill one another. And paragraph 5, and now when I, the Lord, had spoken these words unto my disciples, they were troubled. And I said unto them, be not troubled. For when all these things shall come to pass, ye may know that the promises which have been made unto you shall be fulfilled. And when the light shall begin to break forth, it shall be with them, like unto a parable which I shall show you. And letter E, even so shall it be in that day, when they shall see all these things, then they shall know that the hour is nigh. The redemption of Zion is near. It is given. The judgments and the power. As we consider how that begins to work in our life, let's turn to section 65 in the Doctrine of the Covenants. It says in the introduction to section 65 that this was a revelation given on prayer. It says, hearken and lo, a voice as of one sent down from on high, who is mighty and powerful, whose going forth is unto the ends of the earth, yea, whose voice is unto men. Prepare ye the ways of the Lord, make his paths straight. The keys of the kingdom of God are committed unto men on the earth, and from thence shall the gospel roll forth unto the ends of the earth, as the stone which is cut out of the mountain without hands shall roll forth, until it has filled the whole earth. Ye a voice crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord, prepare ye the supper of the Lamb, make ready for the bridegroom. And then I think it begins to tell us how he's going to do that preparation. Three times he tells us to pray, and he tells us to be witnesses. It says, pray unto the Lord, call upon his holy name, make known his wonderful works among the people. That's testifying. And then again, praying, call upon the Lord that his kingdom may go forth upon the earth. The message is prayer. And it's interesting because it tells us in section 63 that through prayer comes the presence of the Spirit of God. Such a simple concept. Through prayer cometh the Spirit of God. So three times he tells us, call upon the Lord, call upon his holy name, call upon him for the gospel of the kingdom of God to roll forth like a stone, and testify of his great and marvelous works. And as we do that, to have the Spirit with us through prayer, because by the prayer of faith is given unto you the Comforter. And we are taught by the Comforter. Through the prayer of faith, we heal the sick. Through the prayer of faith, the kingdom and the power of God is built. I started thinking in my life, I know you've heard me talk about trying to establish relationships in the body of Christ, to establish neighborhoods and work associations. And I'm not talking about that at all this evening. But there's something about that I wanted to share with you. And that is, at the beginning of this year, in January, at our branch at Devon Park, we were reminded, it's good to have a goal, a vision. How am I going to live differently this year for the Lord Jesus Christ? What will I do differently to have a different result? And I thought, you know, the conviction in my heart about beefing up my prayer life, I said, oh, that's what I'm going to do, Lord. I'm going to have time of sacrificial prayer for you. And in my mind, I was thinking, okay, Lord, help me understand how these Zionic associations can be done. Give me inspiration. Help me understand how I can help the body of Christ. So my goal was to help develop the model that I've been working on for 2 years. So I decided I was going to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning, which is early for me, by the way. For some of you, it's not. But I'm sorry, it is for me. Anyway, so I set my alarm for 5:55 on Tuesday, January 28th. I think it was a Tuesday. But anyway, so I prayed before I went to bed, thinking this is my first chance that I have to do what I committed to do. And lo and behold, for a chance to get up and to pray, I had a dream. In this dream, I was sitting there. I don't know where I was just sitting. And I felt the Spirit of God descend upon me. I could feel my body burn with fire. I could feel my mind expand. And then the Spirit of the Lord fell upon me in greater power, and the voice of the Lord spoke. And it says, you cannot create a model for others to follow. My people must obey my word by faith. As I sat there, my mind began to be taken to the times of Noah. And the Lord challenged me, because the kingdom was built in Noah's day. And the ark was prepared. And the Lord asked me in my mind, so what was Noah's plan? What kind of model do you think Noah developed? All right, you guys get the cheetahs, you get the lion. What kind of a model would they have to have had? It wouldn't have worked. And then he showed me in the days of Moses. What was Moses' model for crossing the desert for 40 years? How could they have created a plan? But what did Moses do? Whatever God asked him to. And then he brought us to our day. And I could see so clearly. Zion's redemption is not because we have a model. Not because we exactly know what it is at every joint and juncture of Scripture and have it all planned out in our mind. It's because we're going to be obedient by faith to whatever God asks us to do. If the Lord asked Martin Harris to sell his or mortgage his farm, he did it. Whatever the Lord challenges us to do, by faith, we obey. I woke up that morning, humbled. Because sometimes we think we can find the answers. He reminded me that He's the answer. He reminded me that we just need to listen. We need to obey. We need to pray. We need to ask. Because it's in the power of the revelation of Jesus Christ into my life where it's lived and His word is made flesh. So getting back to section 65. Paragraph E says that the inhabitants thereof may receive it, the kingdom of God, and be prepared for the days to come, in the which the Son of Man shall come down in heaven, clothed in the brightness of His glory, to meet the kingdom of God which is set up upon the earth. Wherefore may the kingdom of God go forth, that the kingdom of heaven may come. And I thought, that seems backwards. Let me say it one more time. It says, may the kingdom of God go forth, that the kingdom of heaven may come. That's preparing the banquet, isn't it? That's inviting the Savior to sit at His table. That's allowing the city of Enoch to look down upon us and say, those are my brethren. They walk where I walk. They live as I lived. I can dwell among those people. That when the Lord Jesus comes and the kingdom and the powers of heaven come to earth, the kingdom of God is already rolling forth. And the blend is done. So He asks us, if the kingdom of God is the righteousness and the peace and the joy of the Holy Spirit and the power of God on earth, He's asking us, is Zion's redemption near in our life? Because that's what's going to bring it. The kingdom of God rolling forth where His judgment and His power and His presence is made flesh. He invites us to pray. We're reminded in section 117, paragraph 5, an instruction of each one of His servants. I'd like to read that for us. 117, 5. Verily I say unto you, if these my servants will henceforth magnify their calling and honor before me, they shall become men of power and excellent wisdom in the assemblies of my people. If we're looking for the righteousness and power of the Holy Ghost, He's saying, then magnify the calling which the Lord gave us. And if it's priesthood, then magnify it. If it's the office of servant, then magnify it. Whatever the Lord has placed upon your heart, magnify the name of Jesus Christ. And you will be filled with power from on high. Like it tells us, those who seek to bring forth His Zion at that day. He's asking us to be witnesses. He's asking us to pray. So if we can be witnesses and pray for them, we have a chance to do that. I would invite you to consider that at the home of the Willeries, is that correct? Every Monday night, you're still doing that? They're praying and fasting for the souls that know not God at the Willeries home on Monday evenings. You're welcome. The district could also, along with that one, is offering another opportunity for those that Mondays isn't working well for you, on the first and third Thursdays at 6:30 at Devon Park. Another group of people is meeting together on those 2 days to pray and fast for the souls that know not God. He's asking us to raise up and prepare ourselves to be his servants. Another opportunity, which is being sponsored by the district and the missionary coordinators, is on classes on how to teach others how to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. We understand what it means, but we're going to have a series of classes on how to teach that to others, to help you feel prepared that you can teach your neighbors, your friends, your children, what it means to have a relationship with Jesus Christ and how the gospel of Christ is entered into that. And that'll be from 9 to 12 on the second and fourth Saturdays at Devon Park. All opportunities for us to be engaged in the good cause, whether it's by prayer in our homes, in our closets, in prayer and fasting groups, or in the missionary classes, because it says, if you have been warned, warn your neighbor. So this evening, the redemption of the Lord, of your heart, is at stake. That he would judge your unrepentant sin. And that you would be freed to receive of his power. Because that's the redemption of Zion. By judgment and power. To close this evening, just reminding us of the promises of God. Of his city. Section 38, 4, D and E. Reminded of the land of promise. In section 64, 7, they reminded that the willing and obedient shall eat the fat of the land. The verse that our brother Dan read for us in our hearing this evening in section 98, that Zion shall not be moved out of her place. Or from the book of Isaiah chapter 4, it says, in that day the branch of the Lord shall be beautiful. Chapter 11, verse 9, that they will not hurt nor destroy in all his holy mountain. Isaiah 35, 9 and 10, that the redeemed of the Lord shall walk the way of holiness and come with songs upon their hearts. Isaiah 51, verse 3. That the Lord would comfort Zion in all her waste places. That his righteousness is near. Isaiah 52, verse 8. That we'll see eye to eye when the Lord brings again his Zion. And the last one from Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1. Arise, shine. For the light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thine eyes round about and see. This evening, the redemption of our soul by the nearness of Jesus Christ. Can be made flesh and may it be done in our lives. Amen.
Thank you, Gary. Just a reminder, following the service, there are refreshments, or there will be refreshments, and they're provided by Devon Park, I believe, tonight. Let's close with the singing of hymn number 447. Onward to Zion, 447.
Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for these your people who've gathered here this evening. As I look out upon them, Father, I see those things that have affected them in their lives. The power and authority that has been granted to us in these latter days, as we've entered into the waters of baptism, as we've taken upon us your name, and even as we've remembered you, Father, you've granted us that promise that your Spirit would be with us always. And I ask that you would bless us each to come to a personal knowledge and understanding of those things which were required of each of us, that we might be instruments in your hands, that we might not be left in the anxiety of guilt, which often leads to pride, but that we might find that our faith would lead to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness even the greatest of all things, the pure love of Jesus Christ, even charity. And Father, I pray that you would bless us each as we depart from this place, that we might have within us a burning desire to love you above all else, and to love one another, even as you have required, even as you have demonstrated by coming to us in the flesh and giving to us the greatest gift, the opportunity to be your sons and your daughters. Forgive us, Father, of our sins that separate us from you. Bless us that we might do those things which please you. For we know in doing that, we will have rightness, and we will have peace, and we will have joy in the power of your Spirit. And that we will be a light to others to know those things which will grant unto them the opportunity to be your children, to fulfill that which they were created to fulfill. Again, I thank you and praise you and give you the honor and the glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.